Hi guys, happy new year. Welcome to 2023. This is our annual Sabbath Sunday where we take a break just from for our teams, from church life, enable you to spend time with friends and family. So we hope that wherever you are, that you're feeling rested and you're really just enjoying this first day of a new year. Well, today we're starting a brand new series, and this brand new series is called Choose. And I've learned that a huge part of trying to maximize the year that lies ahead boils down to what am I choosing? Hence our title. And I think one of the great wonders of the gospel is this very fact of how God gave us as humankind free choice. He gave us this ability to choose. And I often think about that because God could have made us as robots. And he could have pre-programmed us. But no, he gave us free choice. And that's significant because it means that we get to choose, in a sense, how we live. And at one level, that sounds amazing, Matt. But, you know, we need to be a little bit more forensic than that because we've got to understand the purpose behind why God gave us free choice. What is his purpose behind giving that to us? And I've learned that if I live without that understanding of that purpose, I'm always going to live a life that is less than what God intended it to be. This is what I've learned, is that God has given us free will, you and I free will, to ultimately choose him. I want to say that again. He's given us free will to choose him. It sounds like a conundrum, but listen to what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 19. And this is where Moses is renewing the covenant between God and the people of Israel. And this is what Moses declares on God's behalf to the people. He says, I've set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live. Wow, that's quite profound when you think about it. We have a choice, but choose life. We have a choice, but choose that which is going to bless you and the descendants that follow you. This is what I've learned, is that every decision that we make has a consequence. And we've been given free choice to choose him. And with that, when we do that, comes life. But the opposite is also true when we don't do that, when we don't choose him. God created you and I for his pleasure. He created us with a plan and a purpose in mind. And every day we have a decision to make about whether we choose him. We have free choice, but that choice has been given for us to choose Jesus every day, to worship him, to serve him, to fulfill his purposes in our lives. You know, at the beginning of a new year, and I'm sure maybe that may even be you today on this New Year's Day, is that we're all always trying to make resolutions. How can I make this year great? And today is one of those days. I'm sure there's bunches of those that we're making. And I did a bit of investigation about the top 10 New Year's resolutions that people tend to make at this time of year. And you may identify with some of these. Maybe it's about staying fit and healthy. Maybe that's your New Year's resolution. Maybe it's about losing some weight. Maybe it's about spending less and saving more. Maybe it's about spending more time with friends and family or getting more organized. Or some of you have even made a resolution not to make any resolutions. I mean, that works. Some of us, it's about learning something new. Some of us, it may be about traveling more or reading more. And I could go on, but those are some of the top 10 that people typically make, and they're all good. And if you're a Christian, you might include some extra things like this. Maybe this year I want to read my Bible more. Maybe I want to be praying more. Maybe I want to get to church or small group or youth on a more consistent basis than I have been. Maybe this year I want to volunteer in some capacity. Or maybe this year I want to give more, or maybe start giving. Or maybe I want to start Bible college or start some kind of in-depth biblical study. Maybe I wanted this year to be bolder in sharing of my faith. And all of those things are wonderful things and fantastic things. But here's an interesting fact that as I was researching all of this, that I found out that the research organization Nielsen had done a survey of all of this. And they've been doing this for years and years and years. And they found out this fact. It's quite astonishing that 76% of people do not fulfill their resolutions. That means 75% of you who are watching me right now, whatever your resolution is today, there's a chance that you're not going to fulfill that. Wow, that's quite humbling. And the reality is, we reflect on our own lives, we realize, hey, that's sometimes true. You know, last year may have been a great year for you, or maybe it was an indifferent year, or maybe it was even a really challenging year for some of you. Yet whatever it is like, I think all of us have a desire for this year to be something that would really be significant and the best that it can be. And so we love to make these resolutions, we love to make these things, but most of us don't actually stick to them. Why is that? Why don't we stick to these things if they're so good? Well, simply because making a simple resolution and hoping it's going to change things without choosing, and there's the title of our series, choosing to change your habits and routines, is not going to have any kind of lasting impact. We're all where we are today because of routines that we've chosen. The problem is that for some of us, some of those routines may not be as healthy as they could or should be, and they need to be changed. And that's what this time of year is all about. You see, resolve alone is not going to change what routine has created. You can't believe your way out of problems and patterns that you've chosen and therefore have created. You have to be more intentional about that. Determination alone is not going to be the answer. We've got to choose to change some routines. We've got to choose to change some patterns and do something intentional about that. And that's what this series is all about. Choose. And so this morning, as we launch this series here with you today, I want to speak about what is the most important choice that you can make at the start of this year. And that choice is simply this: choosing to put God first. Choosing to put God first. It doesn't get any simpler than that. You know, in Matthew chapter 22, from verse 36 to 40, this is a well-known text. But let me read it to you. And this is Jesus gets asked these questions. And this is the question: Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. And this is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. You know, the Pharisees, who were the ones asking the question, were trying to test Jesus with this question. And I think they were ready for a debate. I think they were ready to discuss and deliberate about which one's he going to come up. And we're going to debate, and we're going to argue, and we're going to discuss all these kind of religious kind of viewpoints on what is actually the most important one. But Jesus, who they didn't realize was the very fulfillment of the law, he says he simply boils it down to two very simple things. And he says, here it is. Here's the key. I can imagine they're all ears just waiting to hear and ready to fire back their responses. And he says, firstly, love God. And secondly, love people. And he says, everything else hangs off that. See, Christianity is actually quite simple when you think about it. It starts with loving God first. And then out of that, then loving people. Jesus said in verse 37, he says, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. He's basically saying, love me with everything. Love God first with everything. That is the number one thing that you can be doing, that I can be doing as we enter into this year, is to love God with everything that we have, every fiber of our being. You know what's, it has been made incredibly easy for us to do that. Because God has first loved us. And when you get a revelation of the fact how greatly he loved us, how he died for us, and how he went to the cross for us, and how his amazing grace is extended towards us, it's easy to love God first. You know, there are so many things that compete for our attention, that are demanding of our affections, our time, our priorities, our energy, our resources. And it can be tricky sometimes to try and get the balance right. And indeed, some of you may struggle with that. But I want to say to you, if you're going to start anywhere this year, start with choosing to put God first. It's as simple as that. You know, when my daughter, who is now a mum herself and those things, but when she was competitively swimming as a junior, I remember often going to go watch her training sessions. I was fascinated how much time they put into over and over and over again practicing their starts. Because the understanding was that sometimes that fraction of a response time difference could be the difference between winning and losing, between having a great race and a poor race. And how you start this year can make all the difference as to how you finish. Start by putting God first. You might say, well, Matt, how do I do that? How does that actually work? Well, there's a patch of scripture that I love dearly and that I always love to use when I talk about these things. And it's found in a little known prophetic book in the Old Testament called the book of Haggai. And the context is that the people of God had stopped building the temple in Jerusalem because they'd been facing some opposition. And as a result, they stopped building and they went about their business. And after some time, God sends the prophet Haggai to stir them up again, to pick up again what they had been neglecting, and to remind them that choosing God first was what would bring fruitfulness, not what they had been doing, which was just trying to do life on their own terms. And he said, no, 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 that's not where it's at. Where it's at is choosing God first. And so let's read from Haggai chapter 1 from verse 5 through to 8. And it says this. It says, now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much but harvested little. You eat but never have enough. You drink but never have your fill. You put clothes on but are not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. Some of you can feel like, man, that describes my life right now. But this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build my house, so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. You know, I see in that there's four things that I see there about that we can learn from about what does it mean to put God first. And the first thing is this, is that what Haggai says to them as he's trying to bring some adjustment to them in terms of what they were doing and how they were living, is that the first thing that he said to them was simply this. He says, give careful thought to your ways. You know, we need to stop. And this time of year is a great time to do that, to stop and think about, is there anything that is distracting me from putting God first? They weren't doing bad things. They were going on about their daily lives. They were working hard. They were trying to provide. They were doing all those kind of things. And those things are good and they're right. But they weren't the best and the first things to be doing. See, even good things can actually become distractions to putting God first. And it's so true in our lives that we may not necessarily be doing evil things, but we're allowing good things to distract us from doing the God thing. And they were looking out for themselves first. And at the one level, there's nothing wrong with that. But where fruitfulness and abundance that God desires for our life is found is when we put God first. And that's what Haggai points out to them. And he says the first thing is not to choose yourself first, but it's to choose God first. And that's when he will then take care of all of your needs. They were trying to take care of their needs, but as a result, it always seemed like they never had enough. It always seemed like they were on the treadmill of life trying to pay catch up. And I know for some, that's exactly how you feel. But I want to say to you, it's not about you not working. It's not about you not trying hard. God's word says we need to work hard. We need to do those things. But before those things, we need to be putting God first. And when we learn to put God first, that's when he takes care of what we cannot. I always remember the account of me when I was coming into full-time ministry many years ago. And at the time, I remember saying yes when I was asked, will you come onto our full-time staff as a pastor? I said yes. I didn't even know what I was going to be earning at the time. And then I found out, and there was a bit of a gulp, because we did the figures, and it was minus figures at the bottom line, and we're like, oh, what are we going to do? And the temptation could have been that, actually, you know what, we can't afford it. I'm going to have to just continue working and putting our needs first, and that would have been legitimate at one level. But God had spoken into my spirit, our spirit, as a husband and wife, and said, no, this is the right thing to do. And so in faith, we stepped out, and a couple of weeks later, I found out what I was going to be earning. And as I say, it wasn't enough. And yet we trusted God. And God, to cut a long story short, I won't bore you with the details, but God supernaturally provided for us. And in a way that we were able to reduce our expenses to a place that we were able to live off what we were being paid. And since that day, we've seen God's faithfulness over and over and over again. You see, God provides and does things in ways that we cannot when we put him first. And you may not be called to full-time ministry, but in your sphere, what does that look like? You know, we need to be honest about where we are outside of him. We need to be honest about our desperate need for him in our lives, because he's the air that we breathe. He is our very life source. He is the one who sustains and empowers and qualifies us. And to be honest, without him, I'm a mess and I need him. And I'll be a chronic underachiever without him, as would you. But with him, that is when we become more than conquerors. And so if you were to do an evaluation of your life right now, who is getting the first of you? Is it you or others? Or is it God? Haggai says, choose God first. That's where fruitfulness is found. Put him first in your marriage. He's the answer to every problem, and he's the glue that holds it together. Put him first in your family, not just about going to church together on a Sunday, but every day. Put him first in your finances, because when you do that, that's when he blesses the rest. Put him first in your decision-making. Are you going to him first or as an afterthought? Put him first in your career and your future. Trust him with that. Put him first in your time. Does your time reflect that you are putting God first? Put him first in your health. Are you stewarding that which he's given you, your body, your physical body, your emotional well-being, your mental health, in a way that you should? Because when we're putting God first, we'll take care of those things. And so that's the first thing that Haggai says. But the second thing that he says is this. He says, go up the mountain. Go up the mountain. The mountain is a place of provision. The mountain is a place of sustenance. The mountain is a place of encounter. To go up the mountain takes an intentional response and act. And this is where what I was talking about earlier comes into play, about we can't just make decisions without changing routines. We have to be intentional. You have to plan for what you're going to change. Throughout the scriptures, we find that people going up the mountain met with God. We see that with Moses. We see that with Jesus himself. And to spend time with God has to be something intentional. Putting him first has to translate into a practical element in our lives. Yes, he dwells through his Holy Spirit within us. Yes, he's always with us. But even Jesus sought out the Father's presence. Even Jesus went up the mountain. He loves it when we seek him out. And he promises that when we do, we will find him. How do we go up the mountain? Well, we go up the mountain through our daily devotional worship and thankfulness, telling him every day how thankful we are for him and hearing yourself say that. We go up the mountain through prayer, not as a duty, but as a lifestyle. We go up the mountain through the word, getting into it, devouring it, personalizing it. This time of year is a great time to actually be starting some Bible reading plans and those things. There's so many great ones out there. The YouVersion Bible app has so many great devotional reading plans that will help you. I've got one here that I've been using, which is the Bible in 1 Year by the founder of the Alpha Course, Nikki Gumbel, which I used in this last year, just as a commentary and all those kind of things, just a brilliant thing. There's many others that you can do. But whatever it is, do something. Do something, be intentional, and go up the mountain through your reading and devouring of the word. Make regular time to just get real with Jesus. And if you need to confess, confess, and just get honest before him. Maybe it's about spending time for you where you just need to make regular time just to be listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes there's so many voices out there that are telling us what to do, and we just need to make sure we're hearing the main voice, the voice of the Father, the voice of the Holy Spirit. How about feeding yourself through regular teaching? We get that through church, through small group, and just through our own investment in that space. Or maybe it's through regular fellowship, just understanding that actually regular fellowship is part of the way that I go up. Not neglecting the gathering of God's people, speaking with others about the things of God. So Haggai says, I want you to consider your ways. I want you, secondly, to go up the mountain. And then thirdly, he says, but then I want you to bring down timber. Bring down timber. You know, everything that you and I need to live the successful, abundant, effective life that Jesus would have us live is to be found in him. The Israelites needed the timber that was found up the mountain in order to build God's house. And so they had to go up and actually bring it down. And I want to say to you, don't just choose earthly, worldly solutions, but resource yourself in him first. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. God knows best. His wisdom is above any other. And this is what I learned. Everything I need to have a great marriage is found in him. Everything that I need or you need to run a successful business is found in him. Everything that we need to have the healthy family that we desire is found in him. Everything I need to live a supernatural, empowered life that He desires me to live is found in Him. Everything I need to gain the wisdom that I need is found in Him. Everything I need to grow in effectiveness in my ministry, my gift, my calling is found in Him. And everything that I need to grow in character and skill and ability is found in Him. You know, this is what I've learned. It's not about just going up the mountain once, but it's actually choosing to regularly go up the mountain to get more timber whenever I need it. Here's what I've learned. God never always gives us everything we need up front, but He places things along the pathway of obedience. I want to say that again. He places things along the pathway of obedience. Why? So that we would keep on seeking Him, keep on choosing Him, keep on going up the mountain to get the timber that we need to build what He wants us to build. We need to depend on Him for every step and every decision. You know, when you stop going up the mountain, that's when you end up wandering around the mountain and you lose that elevated perspective that you need to thrive, and you don't get the timber that you need to build what you need to build. It was up the mountain, as I said, that even Jesus went. And it's up the mountain where we find grace, where we find power, where we find presence, where we find peace, where we find perspective, where we find everything that we need to have an amazing 2023. And then the last thing is simply this. We need to then consider our ways. We need to go up the mountain. We need to bring down timber. And why do we need to do all of that? So that we can build His house. Here's the purpose. Build His house. You know, choosing to put God first in everything means putting first what He puts first. And His church, His body, His kingdom is what He puts first. That's what He prioritizes. The church is something that Jesus, as the cornerstone, is passionate about, loves, and believes in. And I want to say, whatever your experience of church has been, whether it's been good or maybe it hasn't been good and you've got some scars as a result of that, it doesn't change the fact that the church is something that Jesus Himself is passionate about and loves. And when we seek to co-labor with Him and build it with Him, He's excited about that. And it blesses us. You know, Matthew 16, verse 18, Jesus said these words, says, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. See, the church belongs to Jesus, not to any individual or any person. It's His church. And we get the privilege of co-laboring with Him. In Ephesians 3, verse 10, it says this. It says, His intent was now that through the church, the manifold, that word means revealed, wisdom of God, should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms according to His eternal purpose, which He accomplished in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Now, the church is a spiritual force to be reckoned with. It's not some damp, ineffective, irrelevant things that many have tried to make it out to be. The Bible tells us that in Acts 20, that He purchased the church with His own blood. And it also tells us that it's the church that He's coming back for again. You know, the most important thing that you and I could be on about, first and foremost, is helping build His church, build His kingdom. That's what seeking God first is about. But often the first thing that goes when we're distracted by life is the value that we place on church and being around God's people. And that's where we can end up becoming careless about fellowship. And it's not too long before everything else is effective and our normal begins to shift. And yet God says, don't neglect the church and getting together with my people. Why? Because it's His very heartbeat. It's what He loves, and it's what we should love and help co-labor with Him. I think I can recall on two hands, I don't want to overstate this, but in 35 years, the number of Sundays that I have missed since being a Christian, in being in church, not because I'm legalistic, but because I know the value. I know the value for me. I love being around God's people. I love being around you. I love it because I need envisioning. I need encouragement. I need enlarging. I need challenging. There's times when I come into church and just by being around God's people, my spirit is lifted up. And this is what I've learned. We all have a role to play. My role might be different to your role, but together we are effective. And together we build His church and build His kingdom. Don't bench yourself. Don't think you don't matter. every part of his body is vital. And so consider your ways. Go up the mountain, bring down timber, get what you need, and build his house. Build the kingdom. Pray for the church. Speak well of the church. Get involved in the church. Don't be a spectator. Bring your gifts and talents. Sow into it. Be part of the solution. Choose to make 2023 a year when you love and help build the church like never before. So four things there that Haggai actually mentions. And it says the people responded and they made the adjustments and they put God first. If you go read the account, it's an incredible story. And it says that God again speaks through Haggai after they've responded and as they've made these adjustments on it. And he says these words in verse 13. He says, I am with you. Wow. I am with you. That is how I want to go into 2023. Knowing that God is with me. Knowing that He's with me because I've chosen to put Him first. Knowing that He's with me because He chose and put me first when He went to that cross. And in response, what can I do but seek to choose to put Him first? Let's go into 2023 with that mindset and that understanding. And I believe that we're going to see God do incredible things in us, but also through us. Can we pray? Father, I just thank you that as we sit around your word here today and we stand at the beginning of this new year, I thank you, Lord God, that there's so much possibility, so much opportunity. And Lord, we thank you from what we've seen from your word today about how we need to put you first. We thank you, Jesus, that you put us first and you've made it easy for us to respond likewise. And we want to make a decision today to say, Jesus, we choose to put you first. And we're not just saying that. We want to change what we need to change. We want to action what we need to action in order to make that possible. I pray for those that are watching this online today that you would speak to them about the things that we need to adjust and that we need to prioritize and that we need to do. And I pray, Lord God, there would be such a great sense of expectancy about what this year holds. Lord, I know that when we put you first, it doesn't matter what we face. We know sometimes life can throw challenges our way. But if you're at the center, we have everything we need to not only survive, but to overcome and to be those more than conquerors that we spoke about earlier. I pray your blessing upon every person. I pray your rest upon every person. And as we journey over these next weeks, may Holy Spirit, you speak into our hearts and spirits as only you can. You know, if you don't know Jesus Christ and you're watching this, we would love to. That's probably the greatest decision that you can make, to put Jesus first. And it simply starts with a decision. You know, Jesus went to the cross for you. He died for you. And he wants you to simply respond to his invitation today at the beginning of this year to say, will you give your life to me just as I gave it to you? It doesn't make sense at one level. It seems almost kind of beyond comprehension, but that's exactly the power of the gospel and what Jesus did for you and I. He shed his blood. He took upon his shoulders all our sins, past, present, and future, and made it possible for us to have a relationship with God the Father. You might say, Matt, but you don't know what I've done. You don't know where I've been. You don't know how I've been living. Say, I might not know, but Jesus does. And he still chose to die for you. And all you need to do is open your heart to him. So I'm going to pray a prayer right now. And if you want to do that, won't you pray this prayer with me on this first day of 2023? And we're believing it's going to be a significant day for you. Lord Jesus, today I come to you and I just acknowledge my need for you. Lord, I acknowledge that I've been doing things my own terms. But today, that stops. And I surrender and I give my life to you. I thank you for what you've done on the cross for me. Lord, a sinner with no hope. But you come and made a way for me. And I'm so grateful and thankful to you for that. I want to give you my life, all of my days, and I want to put you first. I choose you. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, we would love to support you, help you in any way that you can. And so you can drop us a line and we'd jump on our website. We'd love to be able to do that as well.